We'll continue today with part three of Two Choices on the Shelf, Pleasing God or Pleasing Self. Galatians chapter 5, in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 13. The Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And then I'm going to skip down to verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another." Lord, I pray for your blessing and guidance on this time in your word. May you teach us. May you help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. There are only two choices on the shelf: pleasing God or pleasing self. The Bible talks about it in the words of walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. We have seen the importance of being regenerated, that is, being saved. We understand that if a person is not saved, they cannot have the fruit of the Spirit in their life, right? An unsaved person can certainly be a nice neighbor, can be a good person as far as be kind at different points in their life and those kind of things, but they cannot please God. And they certainly cannot have the Holy Spirit of God filling them with all of these good things, these nine fruits of the Spirit. And so we notice the importance of being saved. I want you to notice verse 25 here in Galatians 5, verse 25. It says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." If we live here, let's walk here, right? If we are Christ's, if we are saved, if we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us, let's walk with Him, right? You see, a Christian can live in the flesh, and the works of the flesh will be manifest. And so the importance of us walking in the Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit will flow out of our life. Last week, we looked into the specific definitions, understanding the list here that God gives us of the works of the flesh. We have the sexual sins, the sexual addictions of named here as adultery, fornication, and even included there uncleanness could be certainly in the of the sexual nature as well. And so we have those kind of things. The word fornication, the Greek word is porneia, which from which we get the word pornography. It's all types of sexual sin. And we know that believers sometimes get wrapped up in sexual sin, sexual corruption. And so we recognize that's a work of the flesh. That's a work of the flesh, the sexual sins. Then we notice simply the uncleanness, which is all types of moral corruption, all types of moral impurity, and lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, again, just in review, is unbridled lust. It's like a wild horse going its own way that can't be tamed. You go into the pasture to try to catch that horse, and it just, it's got a mind of its own. It runs, and it is wild. It's unbridled. That's lasciviousness. People following their own way, their own heart. Then we have the sins of getting God out of place, where God is not in his rightful place. The sins of idolatry, the sins of witchcraft, really practicing satanic things. We noticed in the word witchcraft, the Greek word is pharmakia, from the same place where we, that first part, pharma, is where we get pharmaceutical. And it speaks of drugs, and oftentimes drugs go together with demonic things, and mind-altering things go together with evil spirits, and they open someone up to that. Then we have those just anger, hatred. It says hatred, variance. Variance is strife or contentious debate. Emulations here is the word is zealous. This is a passion of a person's life, passion of envy, passion of indignation, wrath, strife. So these kind of anger, fighting kind of things, putting self forward. And then we have seditions. This is rebellion. The word literally means to divide. Seditions literally means to divide. It is rebellion against authority. Heresy is also similar. Heresy means to choose one's own way. Literally, the act of taking or capturing. Heresy captures people. It brings them into bondage. False teachings. And then we have envyings. Resentful longing. We have murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. Revelings are those drunken parties. Carousing. Lively, noisy drinking party. So the works of the flesh. We see that this is not an exhaustive list. The Bible says, such like, verse 21, such like this. But then God contrasts the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how is it that we can walk in the Spirit? How can you or I walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh? You see, it's possible for us to walk in the flesh. And you know what? If we walk in the flesh, you know what comes out? Those same similar things. Perversions of all kinds. Corruption, uncleanness, meanness. You see, God gives us terms here in his word that are, they're the extreme, you might say. I mean, they are the full blown. The strife, the pride, those things, they cause division. They cause offenses. They cause hurt. Getting God out of his rightful place, idolatry. So how are we going to walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh? Well, first of all, walking in the Spirit is, first of all, yielding. Yielding to God. In my life, I can't live the Christian life in my own strength. I'm not strong enough to live the Christian life. I can't do it. I need God. Every one of us. We can't live the Christian life because the fruit of the Spirit is not me trying to have love. The fruit of the Spirit is not me saying, oh, I need to be joyful. Oh, you know, let me think about all the good things I can be thankful for. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. You see, when we seek, if we're seeking for the fruit, we're missing it. The Christian life, or you know, as we work through this passage, it's not just trying to seek the result, right? That's what fruit is. The fruit is the result of a certain kind of tree, let's say, okay? A certain kind of tree receiving nutrition from the ground, from water, from the nutrients in the soil, and receiving sunlight from heaven. That tree, the result of that tree doing what it was made to do, is the fruit on its branches. And in our lives, as Christians, if we're just looking for the result, right, that's what we want. We want the quick, you know, where I have that, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. I don't want the anger, the variance, the emulations, the murders, the seditions. I don't want that kind of, if we're going to get the result, we have to get our focus right. And so when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, when we think about this teaching here, the focus of our pursuit must be the Lord. It must be the Lord, not the result. As we pursue the Lord, and so I'm going to give you three words. First of all, yielding. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Number one, it means to yield. To yield ourselves to God. Yielding ourselves to God. Notice Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Notice what the Bible says. Romans 6, verse 16. The Bible says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And so, do we not know this? Who we yield ourselves to is that's where the fruit will come. If we yield ourselves as servants to follow whether of sin, in the middle of verse 16. If we yield ourselves to sin, we'll reap the fruit, right? If we yield ourselves to obedience, we'll reap the fruit of righteousness. And so, in our lives, it begins with yielding. In my life, it's not about me trying to say, I need more love in my life. I need to love people better. I may identify certain needs in my life like that, that I need the joy of the Lord more. I need his peace. Yes, yes, all of those things. But just seeking for the fruit and missing the Lord is not going to produce the right fruit. You know, years ago they made plastic fruit, right? I think you can still find plastic fruit. But the stuff years ago didn't look real, you know. You could tell from 100 miles away that it was fake, right? Some of the stuff they make today, the fake fruit or fake flowers, they look pretty good. I mean, they've got some better artificial fruits and artificial flowers today. And so they look pretty good. But you know what? It's not the real thing. You and I can try to produce what only God can produce in us. You know, think about if we were going to try to sit down and make an orange. Make an orange. I mean, we know an orange should be sweet. It should be the color orange. We know that the outside should have those little dimples, that orange peel texture. We know that inside it should be sweet and juicy, right? And of course, there's much more complexity to an orange. To actually make an orange would be rather difficult in the laboratory. But we could make it. We could produce something that looked really good, but really it wasn't an orange. It really wouldn't be an orange. It would be nigh unto impossible, really impossible, to make what that tree will make when it's abiding in the soil and receiving the sunshine from God. And so in the Christian life, the fruit of the Spirit is really first about me yielding to God. And sometimes when people think of yielding, they think of passively yielding. Well, this is not passive. Yielding, notice the verse again in verse 16. It says, "Know ye not that to whomsoever ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." This is active cooperation. Active cooperation. Yielding to God is about me actively placing myself in God's hands. It's about me seeking God and saying, "Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do?" This, the Bible says, "Who we yield ourselves servants to obey, his servants we are." The Christian can yield themselves servants to sin, and that's tragic. It always brings death. Or we as Christians can yield ourselves servants to God through obedience to his word, and the result will be righteousness. And so as we yield ourselves, so yielding is the first thing. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, first of all, it means to yield ourselves to God. This is active cooperation. Active cooperation. I want you to notice, secondly, it's obeying. Obeying. This is active following. When you receive instructions, you have the opportunity to either obey or disobey, right? You have the opportunity to either follow the instructions or not follow. So when God gives us instructions, we must follow them actively. Walking in the Spirit. Well, what does it mean? It means yielding ourselves to God, active cooperation. Number two, it means obeying God. Obeying God, actively following Him. Like we sang about this morning in this song here, "The Lord is my shepherd," right? "I'll walk with Him all way." The Lord is my shepherd. Well, if He's our shepherd, are we following, right? Are we following His voice? Are we following His direction? Yielding, obeying, and thirdly, depending. Depending. Depending on the Lord. Again, it's not me trying to produce love. Me trying to have peace. It's not me trying to be long-suffering. It's me seeking God. First and foremost, I must be seeking God, yielding to Him, obeying Him, and depending on Him. As a tree must depend on the soil from its root system, the nutrients it can receive through its root system, we must learn to establish a good root system. What is a root system? A root system, as a tree grows from a young tree into a more mature tree, the root system must increase. That root system is the place where that tree depends. It's resting there. It is abiding in the ground. And it's from that dependence that it can receive. Now, a tree also receives from the sunshine it receives, and a tree is uniquely designed by God that way. It receives from the soil, the nutrients, the water, but it also receives the sunlight, which is a critical part of all plant growth. You know, another word for depending is abiding. Abiding. And the Lord used an illustration in John 15. And we can go over there to John 15, the Gospel of John. He says there in verse 1, he says, I am the vine. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. He's the farmer. He's the caretaker. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the temperance, if that fruit, those nine fruit, are hanging on the tree of your life, it is evidence that you are abiding. You see, we can never skip abiding. We can never skip the yielding, the obeying, and the abiding and get to the fruit, right? No more than we can go around producing oranges in the laboratory, right? It's not the same product. They might look like oranges. You know, I can try to work up joy in my life. I can try to produce self-goodness. But you know what? That's not what's going to please God. Because the only way to get the fruit is to be rooted, is to abide. Yielding, active cooperation, not passive. Active cooperation with God. Putting ourselves in God's hands. He really being who we're seeking. He's our focus. The fruit is a testimony that we were abiding. Just like here in John 15, in the illustration Jesus gives, without abiding, we can do nothing. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. No more can we. And so yielding to God, active cooperation, obedience to God, that's following Him actively, and dependence upon God, that's that abiding, depending on Him. And the fruit then will be the result. So the focus is God. The focus is seeking God and actively following Him. And so then, out of that, the fruit will be to His glory and a testimony that we were abiding. So as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, let's consider the importance of how it is produced. It is produced when I am developing that root system. As we grow, we should be able to mature and to develop bigger root system where there is more dependence. There has been more growth. We have responded more to truth, and we have the potential to bear more fruit. More fruit. Are you abiding in Christ? If we're saved, we are in the Spirit. Let's go back over here to Galatians chapter 5. It says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's possible to be saved and yet not abide. You see, the abiding is the dependence, the walking in His Word. And the fruit is the result. Now, when we see the list of the fruit in verse 22, beginning these nine fruit, they're singular fruit. I believe when we abide, all of these things come out of our life. They're not singled out necessarily. They go together. And love is the first one. Love is the first one. And love is like the capstone. Love is like out of love, out of true love flow all of these other virtues. All right? But notice love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The word here is agape. Agape love. The Greek word agape. In the Bible, there are three words used for love. There's agape, which is the kind of love God has for us. It is selfless love. A love that is willing to put the needs of another above its own. Agape love. It's the kind of love God calls us to have for Him and for others. That we would be willing to put our own needs, put others' needs ahead of our own. Agape love. The next kind of love is phileo. Phileo love. This is a Greek word, phileo, used as love here, or in the Bible, phileo. And phileo love is more of a friendship love. A friendship. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Friendship love, phileo. And then the third word used in the Bible is eros. Eros love. Such as in the book of Song of Solomon. Eros is a sexual more type love, or a sensual maybe would be the best description. Eros is sensual. In other words, I like it. It makes me feel good. It's pleasant. And so it's not necessarily wrong, although oftentimes it can be sinful, but it's not necessarily sinful. It's okay to like something or to like what others do for you or to you. And certainly there's an appropriate place for that kind of love, but it is sensual. But the kind of love God calls us to have here and the kind of love that His Spirit will produce is not a feel-good kind of eros love of sensual enjoyment. All right? Eros, another word that stems from that root is erotic. Erotic. It's kind of go with the flow, go with the feeling. And someone in a relationship merely has eros love, or even in a church relationship merely has eros love, where it's just, hey, you know, I like you, you like me, we can get together, we can do some fun things, we have some of the same things we enjoy, you know, we're friends, right? Eros, it's just as long as it still feels good, it's good. But that's not the kind of love that God will produce in us. The kind of love that He will produce is a selfless love, a love that's willing to go the extra mile, a love that's willing to love our enemy. You see, I can try to produce love in my life. I can say, oh yes, I need to love this person, and I need to love that person, and this one's, you know, hurt me, or this one is difficult to love, and I can love them, you know, and I can pray for God to help me to love that person. But you know what? The focus needs to be abiding in Christ, yielding myself to Him, obeying His word, depending on Him, and He will produce that genuine care for someone who is even unlovely, or someone who has hurt me, or someone I don't even know. And I'll have care for a lost world, care for those who don't love our Savior, care for those who have said things mean to me or whatever. There'll be that care for them, for their soul, that I would be willing to give of myself even for those who won't appreciate that gift, that kind of love. God tells us in His Word that the greatest commandments are to love God and to love our neighbor. And so we see here that the capstone of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we'll have to pick that up here as we work through this list to understand them more fully. And so remember, the fruit of the Spirit, it's not to seek the fruit, but to develop our roots in the Lord by actively yielding, by obediently following, and by abiding in the vine. The fruit is the result of abiding. So let us abide. Let us cultivate that yielded heart and dependence upon the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this challenge, and Lord, we know that in each of our lives, we need you. And the fruit of which you tell us will be produced when we abide is something of which we all need. Know that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we cannot have the real fruit. Lord, we need that. That's what our world needs, is Christians just like us who are abiding in the vine and bearing forth fruit. Lord, I thank you for this. I pray that you would show us areas that are not yielded, or areas in which we have not been obeying as we should, or areas where our dependence has been on ourselves, or trying to produce something good on our own instead of abiding in you. Lord, we thank you for this. Please show us those areas that we might get them right, get them yielded to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.